Psalm 46. Please give heed to this wonderful psalm. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a son for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. If I were to pick a theme for this psalm, it would be God, a sure and certain refuge for the church. As I've mentioned before, the Psalter is a very eschatological book. Eschatology deals with the future. Eschatos means is a Greek word that means last, and it deals with the last things. Therefore, if there's anyone who thinks that the Psalter was only for or should only be for the Old Testament church or the Old Testament believer is gravely mistaken. And you would be hard-pressed to find a psalm that demonstrates that truth better than this psalm, Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is clearly an eschatological psalm. Although this psalm was written in the Old Testament era, quite possibly in response to the victory of the Israelites over their enemies in some particular battle, such as the time of the siege of Jerusalem by Sennacherib in the days of Hezekiah, yet this psalm undoubtedly looks forward to the consummation of all things at the end of the world. And such a psalm falls really well on the heels of Psalm 45. In Psalm 45, you will recall, we have that wonderful picture painted for us of the great marriage between Christ and the church just at the time of the restoration of all things. And in that psalm, the church is encouraged to make herself ready. And the last line in that psalm is, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. And here in Psalm 46, we see the church praising her king for the preservation and security and protection that is afforded to her from the wrath and judgment of God, which will come upon the whole world. The psalmist pictures for us the worst possible calamitous event that could ever happen. The earth being removed. The mountains crumbling. Being carried, picked up, and thrown into the heart of the sea. Verse 2. The reference to the waters roaring and being troubled in verse 3 obviously alludes back to the first worldwide judgment of the flood. Verse 3, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. But in the midst of this worldwide calamitous event and the roaring of the ocean waves, there is a in contrast to this, a sure and steady river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, verse 4. You see, this obviously it cannot be speaking in regard to some specific historical event in the past, because we have the earth being removed, the mountains being thrown to the heart of the sea, and yet we have this city, and we have this river whose streams make glad the city of God. This obviously looks back to the peace and security that was afforded our first parents in the Garden of Eden. But then even more so, it looks forward to the river of life mentioned in Revelation 22 and verses 1 and following. You remember Revelation 22, and he showed me, that is the angel, he showed me the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then in verse 4 of this psalm, there is also the mention of the holy place, of the tabernacle of the Most High. And then in verse 5 it says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Both of these verses clearly look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is in the midst of her. Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John writes in chapter 1, verse 14 of his gospel, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the word tabernacled. He dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then the latter half of verse 5 says, God shall help her just at the break of dawn. What a wonderful eschatological psalm. God is in the midst of her, but God shall help her just at the break of dawn. I mean, there are some clear references in the New Testament that would imply that when Christ returns, it will be at the break of dawn. He is that bright morning star who will be revealed at the break of dawn. But then in verse 6, we are brought back to the attitude of the nations, almost as if before this is going to happen. And in Psalm 2, we are told the nations raged. It's obviously a reference back to Psalm 2 that we just sang earlier. But the kingdoms were moved. And I love this next line. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The nations raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice like he uttered his voice with the creation of the universe. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. 2 Peter 3:10 says, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will all be burned up. And then in verses 8 and 9 of this psalm, the church urges the nations to consider what will be the final outcome. Or it could be that the psalmist is urging the church, or yet again that it could be God who is urging the church. But notice this urge that comes upon us. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Come and behold this great work that God will do. And then in verse 10, we come to an often very misunderstood verse. Those who have just gotten here, we're at Psalm 46. Verse 10, at least it was misunderstood by me for many years. A lot of people quote this verse. And we tend to have a very individualistic approach to this verse. But God says, be still and know that I am God. The reality is that this is a call to the nations. It's not just a little believer having his quiet time and being still before God. It's a call to the nations. The verbs in this verse are in the plural. Be still, all you nations that are raging against Christ the King. In the midst of your raging, be still and know that I am God. Know what is going to happen. Know what the end will be. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. This psalm, if nothing else, lifts our heads up. It redirects our focus away from the cares of this world and of this life, and causes us to consider the end of the whole matter. This world is not our home, congregation, and the judgment that will befall the whole world will not come near to us. Christ will be our shelter from this storm. He is our refuge. God is in the midst of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will not be moved, though the entire earth will be one day. So with these thoughts in mind, let us turn to our psalm, Psalm 46, in the blue psalters, and we'll be singing the C selection.